You are listening to Building with Build Her, where we talk about all things building, whether it be building or renovating your dream home or developing for profit. We believe that building done the right way is fun. I'm Rebecca from Build Her Collective. Join us as we explore all aspects of this journey. A treat for you today. We have Amanda. Amanda is one of my good friends, and actually there's a couple of us here. It's a Friday night. We've
a ladies wine and chat.
Oh, it sounded like a good idea to do a podcast, right?
Of course. Why not?
So how you catch up around work. And we thought we would, I guess, include, well, you had a really good story. And you had a really good story in terms of using a builder in a really great way, and I guess the Build Her community, but, you know, doing a investment property and then your own home.
Yeah.
And being able to manage all of that really well. And I guess for me, I just wanted to share that because it was really kind of textbook. That's how it's meant to run.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm winning. I get an A+ for my renovation skills.
Yeah, you like to tick all the boxes,
well,
right?
Fitzroy North was very different. We had a property that we had bought in original condition. So we had had tenants in that for a long time, and we were the slum lords of the inner north, which was a bit shameful. So we knew it needed a pretty big facelift. So, but you know, it was always very much about the value proposition in that property. So we had to make it good, like high end, because we wanted to have a certain type of renter living in there, but we also needed to make sure we didn't overcapitalize. So that was the first big renovation that I did.
That's a tricky balance. So how did you work that through? Because high end and overcapitalized often go together.
So I think the key with that property was that we made sure things looked very nice, very neutral, but we didn't overspend at all. So we didn't, I was really careful not to get caught up in the excitement of a first renovation. Yeah.
And you should.
Yeah. So, but those tiles are amazing. So, we should just spend a bit more on those and have those. But I had to remind myself the whole time that it was a renovation for a particular purpose.
The renovation for rental.
For rental.
So when we look at things, I mean, I think what's really great about the way you come across things is you've planned out how you're using property and what the outcome is. It's not like I'm going to renovate and then I'll see what to do with it. No, it's a renovation for rental. So, what do you need to do to increase that yield? And then that's what you did.
And also knowing that things like bathrooms and kitchens, you are going to have to do them again. Like, we had no intention of selling that property. We'll hold on to that as an investment. So knowing too that, okay, well, I'm renovating this for 15 years, let's just say, and then I'm probably going to need to do some more work on it. So I think that that mindset of saying this is not the final renovation and I'm going to be judged because I'm selling my property and I need to make a certain amount of money. So that was really just to remind myself the whole time that that was what it was all about.
I mean, that's one of the things about having investment properties. You've kind of got a plan for there is this rotation of finishes and things you've got to do to them because they don't last forever. And the better, and I think this was the market you were going after, was a really nice renovation to attract the type of clients that would love that home, respect that home.
But young professionals.
Yeah.
They're not retirees who are looking to rent something.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that market. It was young professionals. So, you know, are they going to care if the carpet is wool? No. But they do want nice carpet that's plush, but, you know, is also fairly stain resistant. So those little things, you have to just remind yourself the whole time who your market is and where you should spend money.
Now, you had a really good build through that. So you worked with the builder. And I think actually one of the keys to the way you worked here was relationships and kind of working.
Yeah. We were really lucky. We met a builder who we just liked him, you know, immediately. He had a really warm personality. But I think the key to our relationship was that we developed just a really nice, friendly relationship. So I knew when I needed to be involved, but also when I should give him space to actually do what he does.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would be there and I would visit fairly regularly, but I wasn't micromanaging him. And I think that was really, really positive because I've seen that relationship go wrong as well when people, you know, are so invested in a property that they are just there too much and too involved.
And they ask questions sometimes in the wrong way, like, you know, is that meant to be like that? That's a mistake, right? And you're like, well, hang on. Like, why don't you try? Oh, can you tell me about that? I don't understand how that goes together.
Yeah. And that's really important. And then, you know, I think the end of the build, I was really happy with it. Do I think that everything was perfect? No, because I don't think there is – I don't think everything can ever be perfect.
Not in a house.
Not in a house, no. But I felt 100% happy with the outcome. And more to the point, I felt really good about the relationship. I felt that he delivered what he promised. Mm-hmm. He did it in a really timely manner in a time period that he had promised in the beginning. I think the quality of the work was fantastic and, you know, did I get him back to fix a few things? Yeah, there was a door that was a bit funny and we ended up, that was a problem with the actual manufacturer of the door. But, you know, because I had a good relationship with him, when we had to fix that after the tenants moved in because we didn't realise it wasn't working properly, and that was all sorted out really easily. So I think that's also the thing you have to remember with a building relationship is that you're probably going to have something to do with that builder even after you pay that final amount. And if you build a good relationship and a really positive relationship, that's always going to serve you better in the end.
Yeah. I mean, there's no build that's perfect because you've got a unique set of products coming together, and whether it's the manufacturer or a glue or the tradesperson or, you know, sometimes user error where we break something, yes. You know, then being able to get people to come back because you've had this kind of good working relationship, you've been reasonable, and things that help that are also things like paying their bills on time and understanding that they're probably relying on that money to, you know, feed themselves and look after their family.
That's actually come up a lot, even in the trades that I've used recently for our renovation at home. So we did a renovation at our house and we used the same builder because we had a great relationship. He also has done a renovation for my dad. So you can see that there's a pattern of trust there. But we've also just embarked on the landscaping of our property. So we've had lots of trades coming in and out of our place. And I tell you what, the power of paying bills on time, you cannot underestimate what level of goodwill that builds with tradespeople.
Yeah.
And I think it is remembering that they are often relying on that money for their business or because they're, you know, that's their sole income. So,
and even if, and like I'm not always perfect at this, but even if you know that they've got a 7-day or a 14-day payment term, but there's no reason why you wouldn't just pay it today.
Correct.
You know.
Talk to my lawyer husband. He'll say, no, we're not paying until the due date. But that's why I pay the bills with the trades, because as soon as I get the bill, I pay it.
Oh, well, and then they're kind of, you know, they're in your home and they're in your space and you kind of want them to get done and, you know, move on. Because whilst renovating can be really fun, there's a point where it gets tiring and there's a point where you just want to move in and have your house and your space back to yourself and, you know, get on with life.
Yeah.
So talk to us. So you've done that renovation and that took, do you remember how long that took?
Yeah, I think that took a bit shy of 6 months. Actually, probably not even 6 months. I think we knocked it over in about 5. Mm. And that was fairly big. So we knocked the back off a terrace house and then we went up. And it was a really narrow space. So actually, I was talking to you before about planning, because I had drawn up all these plans and I had an island bench in the kitchen and I thought it was going to work perfectly. And the other thing I hadn't factored in was what the space looks like when it's actually got new walls. And I remember saying to you one of the most important things that I did was sit down with you for a consultation, because I looked at this layout and I looked at the walls that had just gone up on the back of the property, the new part, and I just thought, this is not going to work. There's not enough room here for a dining table, which was a huge problem for a rental property.
It's easy if you don't draw the furniture or understand the size of the furniture when you're looking at a plan. You just look at a plan and you're like, oh, well, that works. And then you kind of think of it. And it did cost more money to change.
Yeah, because by the time I had seen that, the slab had been laid and there was plumbing to the island. And so you and I, it was really good because you and I talked about, okay, well, what's it going to cost to move that? And then what will the impact be if we change it? And 100% we had a much better outcome. And I think it did cost something like you know, a couple of thousand dollars to move that plumbing. But in the grand scheme of things, like, that was the best thing we ever did. And had I not made that change really early, it really wouldn't have been a usable space, which could have been a disaster.
Wouldn't have been changeable too much later either, right? Yeah. So if you had to wait until the joinery was done, or
exactly, like, it would have been, yeah, because way we had more, to redesign the kitchen.
Yeah,
we ended up having, instead of having like an island, we ended up having sort of an open kitchen where there was a space in the middle for a dining table. So,
yeah. Which works well. I love that you said that, oh, I just did this little, like, it was just a really little renovation. It was 2-story of a terrace house in a small, tight site. I'm like, that's really hard. Like,
yeah.
Tight sites are tricky. And 6 months or less than 6 months, like 5 months to do that, it's a really good pace, and to get the quality out of it too. So you've done that, and you obviously had a great relationship at the end of it, yeah. And you thought, okay, well, I'm going to do my home now.
Yep.
And one of the funny things that we were talking about is that the difference in the way it feels and the pressure when you're doing your own home,
yes,
versus the kind of being able to make decisions about where someone else lives.
Yes. It's definitely harder to do your own home. There's no doubt about it. I think too, because you know you're going to be looking at those fixtures and the tiles and the fittings, you're going to be looking at them for a long time. We started the process actually by getting an interior designer to help us out, because we had a beautiful space. We didn't need to do much, but I wanted to somehow add a butler's pantry. And I thought it could be done by sort of making the laundry smaller. But thank God I got an interior designer to have a look at it, because
she did a really good layout.
She did an amazing layout. So she was able to sort of see the space very differently to the way I was seeing it. And I think that's the benefit in bringing in an expert like that. Actually, when you think about it, it's a very small part of the overall cost of your project. But if you get that layout right, that has a huge impact on the livability of a house.
Yeah.
So she had a very different idea. We now have the laundry the same size, which is great. It's a nice big laundry.
It's a great
laundry.
She
pulled the whole kitchen forward.
Yeah.
And then built like a butler's pantry behind. So that was kind of genius.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a really good solution, actually.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I remember about that is, like, she presented you some schemes.
Yes.
And you agonized over them.
Yes.
And you didn't want to – this is all right – you didn't want to tell her that you might like to change something, because you didn't want, yes, to offend her.
I found that part of it really hard because I'm definitely a people pleaser. And I think in a rental property, when you're going for neutral, that can be okay. But in your own home, I was really – I felt like she was maybe being a bit safe, and I sort of, you know, oh, and then I'd gone out shopping and I'd seen some tiles and I fell in love with them and –
yeah.
Anyway, I had to sort of skirt around it. But in the end, I think I wasn't able to really be confident enough to communicate what I really wanted.
But you did what you wanted anyway.
But in the end, yeah. So I think then in the end I resolved it by sort of saying to myself, well, you know what, it doesn't matter. Like, it's your house. If there's something that you really love, you should just go with your gut instinct. And she's done an amazing job designing the spaces and working out the layout. And if you want to change some tiles and some cabinet colours, just go for it, which I did.
Which is good, because it's your house and your space. And the thing, yeah, is, like, you know, I have the benefit of being able to do this all the time, but I change things like, yes, up until the final day. I'm like,
yes,
changing my mind, because actually there's no right solution.
There's not. And I still look at my place now and think, oh, I love that. And now green is really in, and, you know, and I think, oh, I'd love to do that. But you have to remind yourself that you can't just keep renovating your own home. You have to become a Rebecca and do it for a job.
You could do that. You know, when you talk about your home, it's one of those things that I find is hard to overcome for people, because your home was, and I, like, it was lovely. It was dated.
It was dated.
It was very dated, but it was still in, you know, really good condition.
Yeah, it was.
And the only problem with it really was the fact that it was dated and it didn't, yeah, suit your personality, because I think someone else had done it and you bought it like
beige.
That. It was very beige. And you have a more colourful personality. Yeah. And actually there's photos. So if you are listening to this, there's photos on a blog on our website, or there'll be a link, show notes link to that, or on Instagram. And, you know, colour is your thing. You're good at colour. You've got a, you know, we always say that a house should reflect the way, you know, the person that lives in it and the person who designs it. And beige is not how I'd describe you.
No, I'm not very beige.
No, you're not beige. So how did you overcome that? Because that, to me, that's a really hard one. It's like
I overcame it by talking to you, because you were amazing in that process. Because I remember you sitting me down and us talking about it multiple times, and I was on the fence, and I kept going back to, oh, maybe I should just do something a bit safe. And you were the one that really encouraged me to embrace what I love. And thank God. So for people listening, my cabinetry is all a really dark navy. Nice, so like navy. A grey navy. Yeah. And I love that colour. I wear that colour a lot. And in the end, it was really through talking to you where you said, if you love it, you'll never get sick of it. It's been a colour that you've loved for a really long time. Just go for it. And I'm really glad I went for it.
Yeah, and it gives your house a personality.
It totally does. My house has really got a lot of light, and it's got very high ceilings, and so I think it can carry the dark cabinetry quite well. And then I've kept lots of other things quite light. The walls are still very light.
It's a little bit edgy. You've got kind of concrete bench top. You've got another bench top. Like, you've got some fun things happening, some, you know, navy finger tiles and a good bed head, like a fun bed head. And you've got, you know, these colours and these textures and these tones coming through. It's not safe, but it really works.
Yeah. And little things, like I did the green bedhead, the wooden sort of panelling, which again is an idea that I stole from one of your developments, I think. Did it slightly differently. But I always just said, you know, this is great because I can paint this whenever I feel like a colour change. And so rather than buying a, you know, upholstered bed head or a proper bed frame, I just went with a base and then decided that that would be, you know, something that I could change up as I went along, because I am a person who also likes to change things around a bit.
Yeah, me too.
Mm.
You don't want to look at the same thing every day. So you, but we build it in options into the future as well.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, in the same way that furniture, you know, clothing has become a little bit more, like its life cycle turns over and clothing turns over quickly. You know, houses and interiors, they turn over too.
Yes. Beige is back.
Yeah, beige is very much back. It should have done nothing. But the problem is when it comes back, it's like last time it was here and it was like a grey beige.
Yes.
And this time it's here and it's like a warm beige.
Yeah.
And so it always just kind of slightly changes enough to not make the old one actually look good again. Might just totally be irritating. Let's give some people some top tips.
Yep.
Because you enjoyed it.
I loved it. And I dream about doing it again. I will do it again. I've already spoken to my husband about the next investment property. I would love to do it again. Felt like, compared to my day job, it allowed me to embrace my creative side and also use my people skills in a really great way, and my organisational skills. I am really organised and I loved it. Yeah, it was really great.
So give someone a top tip. So organised?
Stay organised. Build good relationships. You know what they say, you always kill more flies with honey.
Catch more flies.
Or kill
you catch
them.
More flies. No, you catch more flies
catch
with honey.
Catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
Vinegar.
Okay.
I like that phrase. Right?
It's a good phrase.
It's a good phrase. It works.
Because even when things were not going well, and inevitably in a build, things are not going to go well, and you are going to feel internally quite annoyed about things. Things slow down at a certain point.
Especially when you're living with family.
Yeah. And that's right. And things are not going quick enough. But, you know, I always maintained the calm and tried to kind of speak in a really nice way and just try and resolve the issue rather than kind of lose my cool. And I think that that has really been very powerful. Like, just recently we had a bit of a leak on one of our windows that they found when they were painting. Some flashing hadn't been done properly. And I was able to call my builder up. It's been over a year, and just say, hey, the flashing wasn't done properly on that window. Can you come over and have a look? And he was there the next day. He's rectified it. It was an oversight, you know. So
Well, little things will happen because they're also trying really hard to get it finished.
Done quickly. And quickly, I was pushing them for time. Yeah. During a pandemic, doing a renovation during a pandemic and living with my 77-year-old father, I was under the pump. I needed to get back home.
Great. Great. You should definitely live with people and homeschool and do your work at the same time. It should be fine.
Totally.
You can go from a big house to a tiny little.
Totally.
It makes you really appreciate the space you have now.
It does. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So don't sweat the small things.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing that it's easy for me to say is just come to it with positivity.
Yes.
So no one wants to be spoken down. You said this before, don't kind of lose your cool, but no one wants to be spoken to like a child.
No.
Especially when the person speaking to you doesn't actually know anything about buildings.
Yes. And sometimes you can ask a question in a way that shows you know nothing, but you're still getting something answered. You know, I used to be a lot like, why do you have to do it like that? You know, and it would help me understand, but also help them to sort of get that, you know, maybe there's some processes that you know, I don't get and we need to have a discussion about them so that we're all on the same page about what we're doing.
Yeah. And so that understanding, I think that's like respectful as well, and as long as you're not taking up too much of their time. But people want, you know, like it's nice that people are interested in what you're doing because they have a great sense of pride. They're spending their 40 hours a week building this home for you.
Yes.
And the last thing they want is for someone to come in and go, that's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like they want, it's not very motivating.
Yeah.
Not that you would ever do that, but just that kind of understanding of people and how you work with them. Yeah. And, you know, we spoke before about sweating the small things and knowing what's an important thing to get fixed and what you can live with and you're probably not going to.
Yeah.
And there's little details that are important to get fixed, like the curtains.
Yes.
You know, they were puddling and they should have been.
Just, that's right. And I really wanted them just touching because I just didn't want them to get really dirty on the bottom on my wood floors. And, you know, I was really worried about it. And Rebecca was like, just go back to them and say to them, they're too long. Can you come and have a look? Please. And sure enough, they were there. They replaced them. They rehemmed them. They rehung them. It was a great outcome. So don't be scared. I think that was the other thing I learned from you is don't be scared to ask people to fix things.
Yeah. I think if you're asking nicely, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. They can always say no.
And I think you can always check. So, like, people who are in our community, they'll check. They'll say, what do you think about this?
Yes.
Is it reasonable to do this?
Yes.
And the second they're asking, they're kind of getting a few different opinions. Like, some of the ones that come up quite a lot, which I find hard because yes and no, it's like it's generally the tilers laid the tiles in the wrong direction.
Oh.
See how many other times that comes up?
Yes.
And I'm like,
that's heartbreaking.
And the problem is they're like, what? They just should have gone that way. You're like, but did you tell them? No, but they should have known that they go that way. Or they should have asked a question. I'm like, yes, actually they should have asked a question. But often they've arrived there. They don't have anyone to ask.
Yeah.
And so they put them down the way they would put them down. And, you know, I actually got caught on this on one of my first projects too.
Yeah.
You
know? My builder was really – he'd obviously encountered that before because I remember he was really uptight about the tiles and he used to make me come and visit before we did any of the tiling to talk through the direction of the tiles. So that was like really positive too. But, yeah, I think that can be a big heartbreak mistake because once the tiles are down, are you really going to pull them back up again?
Well, it's tricky because you've got waterproofing and things like that. So if you've told them the other way, then the liability is not on you. If you haven't, then the liability really is not that clear cut.
Mm.
I mean, they should have asked, but you should have told them. So in most cases, I'd say you're just going to have to live with that unless you can't live with it and then you're going to have to buy new tiles.
Mm.
But things like that communication is really important and understanding what constitutes – no, that's not quite right. And actually, I didn't give you direction and then you did something and I need to live with that consequence.
Mm.
Tricky.
It is really tricky. We had the same thing with the framing of a new window and my builder had just decided what he thought would be good.
Without Remember the
big thick, the big thick wood.
And I kind of like
and
it.
And I just couldn't cope. But I just said to him, hey, Rocky, please, like, I don't know if I can live with that. You know, what? How hard is it to take that off and do it differently? And we just had a really good conversation about it. And yeah, it was a little bit messy and we had to fix a few things. But in the grand scheme of all the work that was being done, it was better to just have that conversation and get a better resolution, something I'm happy with.
Yeah.
Rather than live
Isn't
with it.
Isn't that a nice way to phrase it though? How hard would it be to do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because yes. Then it's like, okay, well, talk me through it. Because I really, you know, yeah. I just had. And it didn't match any of the other window frames, which was probably the part of the issue. But, you know, I have done them like that before, so I can't necessarily judge too much. But this is where it comes to, like, on a set in a house that doesn't have detailed design documentation with every elevation labeled and you're going to be working through things with people. And that process can be really great if you've got a really great relationship, or it can be really challenging if you don't. Thank you. Thanks for coming to talk to us.
Pleasure. Anytime. Looking forward to my next project.
Yeah, looking forward to my next wine as well.
Can't wait to share my garden.
Yes. Thank you.